stays at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Time to talk about undrafted free agents. We're talking undrafted free agents. It's always one of the most interesting and fun things to get into. I love tracking it after the draft. Who are going to be the undrafted free agents that the 49ers sign? And how many of those guys have legitimate shots to make the roster? It gets more and more difficult every single season for undrafted free agents to be able to make the team. But it doesn't change the fact that every single year, the fan base, myself included, find players that we absolutely love as a player. And we root for them. And we hope that they're going to make the 53-man roster. We hope the best for them. And the underdog stories that we all love to get involved in. For some, it's been Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason was a guy that was undrafted that a lot of 49er fans fell in love with, and they love the player, and he's been a critical part of the 49ers roster, helping on special teams, and has had some key carries throughout the years he's been in the NFL. You look at an undrafted free agent like Charvarius Ward. He wasn't an undrafted free agent for the 49ers, but boy, has he been an impactful player in the NFL, same as Aziz Alshire. Now, for me, over recent years, it's been guys like Quantrez Knight or Taylor Hawkins, who I really came accustomed to rooting for. Guys who had the abilities to be fringe NFL players for like guys like Quantrez Knight. He had a shot last year with the Arizona Cardinals. Taylor Hawkins had a shot in week 18 for the San Francisco 49ers against the Rams, and he had himself an interception. And of course, an injury would keep him out of the playoffs. But when you see those guys succeed, it makes you feel happy. You get excited. And every once in a while, you get a guy that just steps up and becomes a big-time player. So it's always fun to look at these players, examine these players, and find out where the 49ers go and if those guys have a shot to make the team. And the 49ers added some very interesting players, very interesting UDFAs, undrafted free agents, guys with unique skill sets. Some of them, they're just clean prospects who, well, for whatever reason, whether it was height or weight, didn't have the necessary abilities to get drafted. Or you have guys who are transitioning to playing football. There's going to be lots of stories. We're going to go through the undrafted free agents and talk about each one of them. Got ahead of it and watched a little bit of film on each one of these guys. I wanted to get my own feel for who they are. And through it, I'll kind of give you an idea of which guys I like, which guys I think it's going to be a little bit harder to make the roster. And I don't want to count anyone out, but sometimes I know people want to follow the money. This guy got more money. He's obviously going to make the team. That doesn't always work out. They're sometimes well thought out undrafted free agents, and you got to outbid someone to get them in, but it doesn't always mean they end up being the player you want. But it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about these guys, give them their moment. Now, of course, I got to make sure I keep this as transparent as possible. These are not officially signed. These are reportedly signed. Either the players, the agents, or a source had said these players have signed with the 49ers, so it could change. And of course, 49ers have to make other roster moves to make room for all of these undrafted free agents. So it won't be official yet. But as time of watching, these are the ones who are rumored because of agents themselves or sources to be coming to the San Francisco 49ers. So like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. If you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, the game starts here. And there are some notable undrafted free agents, but I think the most notable that the San Francisco 49ers signed, and no, it's not going to be player that's dad played for the 49ers, even though we are going to talk about him. I think it's Cody Schrader, running back, Missouri, because Cody Schrader, it was funny, we were on the live stream and somebody brought up Cody Schrader, and I said, you know what? Everyone go watch Cody Schrader's film, because Cody Schrader's an interesting player. Whenever you have a guy that rushes for over 1,600 yards in their senior season, they're doing something right. Now, there's always something that NFL teams find that they don't ultimately like to make these players undrafted, but we've seen undrafted running backs probably have the most success in the NFL because there's something about running. When you have the ability to find the proper holes, the vision, the balance, you can make it in the NFL. So sometimes the measurables don't show up. The film isn't what everyone was hoping. And then you get a player that becomes available. And I think that's what Cody Schrader is. He's pretty fun, a fun watch. 5'8", low to the ground. Doesn't matter for a running back. Doesn't really matter how tall you are running back wise. 202 pounds, which means he's thick. He's dense. He's got a lot of size when it comes to his frame. He ran a 4.640. That's part of the reason. No dynamics, right? The 49ers drafted Isaac Garendo. He runs a 4.3 at 220 pounds. That's a dynamic speed. You're not getting that from Schrader. He's going to get ran down if he gets out in the open field. But his 10-yard split is right up there with some of the best. A 1.55. It shows that 10 yards, he's great. So this is a guy that, yeah, he's going to get ran down from behind, but 15, 20 yards downfield, he gets you a nice gain. Vision, explosiveness is there. A 33-inch vertical isn't exceptional, but pretty good. So let's talk about his strengths. We already talked about the fact he rushed for over 1,600 yards last season, but he's got great contact balance. When he gets hit, he can stay up. There's a lot of times he's going through the hole. Somebody gets a hit off the side. He bounces off. He makes a play. He's able to maintain his balance and stability through tackles. Very patient when he's waiting for holes to open. There's a lot of times running backs aren't patient. They start wanting to bounce it out. He shows patience. He's willing to press to the line of scrimmage, wait for that hole to open, and then jump cut if he needs to take it to another spot. He identifies running lanes so good because of that vision and patience. That's something that he does that's really, really good, and that's why he's a fun player to watch and somebody that, you know, people should get excited about as far as on the practice field. He is really good in the open field. He can create extra yards by being able to make people miss. He does a great job navigating through the gaps that are open for him, and he runs with a physical playing style. So if you like the physical runners, the Jordan Masons, Elijah Mitchells, even the Christian McCaffreys, you're going to like Schrader because that's how he runs. He's got a low center of gravity, 5'8", 200. That makes, you know, him one of those guys that when he has contact and that low center of gravity, he continues forward momentum. You don't see tackles too much where he goes backwards, but he's falling forward. That's an admirable trait when it comes to a running back. That's what you love. Falling forward to get you those extra yard or two, that is huge. He's got great toughness, and he's always persisting in running through contact. In the passing game, he showed good hands. He caught 21 of the 25 targets that he had in 2023, and so when you throw in that with his vision and instincts, he is a guy that could be really good in the outside zone. That was my original thoughts on him, and he looked pretty good. Now let's talk about some of the weaknesses. He does not have the acceleration, the 4.6, not exactly a home run threat when it comes to getting the ball and taking it to the house, and he can get ran down from behind pretty quickly. So you'll see him. He gets out on the open, 20, 25 yards. He's probably going to get caught. So those are some things he needs to work. He's not the most elusive in the open field. He's not Christian McCaffrey making people miss and being able to sidestep defenders in the open field. That's something he has to work on the same way Garendo has to work on that. Second and third level elusiveness is not always there. Got to get a little bit better on it. His top speed is adequate, but he will not be one of those guys that's able to hole shot plays. He's going to get caught. If you're at the 25-yard line and he breaks one, he's probably going to score a touchdown. If you're at the 45, he's going to get caught. That's just, you know, how it goes with him. He needs to get a little bit better when it comes to his route running. He wasn't asked to do a lot of diverse things at Mizzou. He had a very simple game plan when it came to his passing and what routes that he ultimately ran. And then just like with some of the other guys, his cuts coming out of full speed are not always 100%. So he can't get away from pursuing defenders. He makes his cut, and then he starts to accelerate. Defenders continue to accelerate. He can't re-accelerate fast enough for them not to be able to catch him. But good player. You know, I mean, I think he's one of those ones that's going to get people's attention in training camp, and he'll get some carries. It's going to be tough for him to be able to crack this roster with the running backs of the 49ers have, but we've seen it happen before, and he's got the talent, and he could be a guy the 49ers try to keep around on the practice squad and maybe even develop. Cody Schrader from Mizzou, one of the better undrafted free agents that the 49ers signed. Let's go to the offensive line, and let's go to the center position with Drake Nugent out of Michigan. 15-0 starting center for the Michigan Wolverines. We're going to talk about why he went undrafted, but we'll talk about some of the things we like about him as well. He's 6'2", 298 pounds. That's the number one reason he went undrafted. He's short, and he is also undersized at 299. Most teams want their centers to be closer to 310, 315. That way they can anchor against big nose tackles in the NFL. He has the 33-inch arms, which is fine for an interior offensive lineman and good for a center. That would be a problem for an offensive tackle, but not with this. A 5'2", 40. You would love him to be a little bit more athletic, but 5'2 means he can still get where he needs to get at the right time. His 10-yard, 1.83, that's not one of the tops either. His shuttle, though, which Kyle Shanahan led us in on the fact that, right, if your shuttle's good, you should be able to get there on reach blocks. And he hasn't been wrong at all, because all the offensive linemen the 49ers got, their shuttle has been really good, and Nugent is no different. Nugent ran a 4.50 in the shuttle. That's the top 91 percentile in the league. His vertical, 29, and we don't really care too much about that, but his three cone, a 7.33, top 93 percentile in the NFL. Change of direction, and also the quickness to be able to get out that first step and get where you need to get and block a defensive lineman is huge. You got to be able to make reach blocks in a zone scheme, and Nugent can definitely do that. Let's talk about some of his strengths. He has nastiness, and that's been a consistency. We're talking about Dominic Puny, and we're talking about Jarrett Kingston. We're talking about guys who display nastiness and finishing blocks. Nugent is one of those guys. He sustained blocks and takes them all the way through the whistle. He will go through the echo of the whistle, and that's what you want from a offensive player, that nastiness on the offensive line. I love that the 49ers are going with these guys, and he is really good in those categories. He's also outstanding in the screen game. Gets out in front, and he's able to make those plays. Instincts really take over, and his mobility to get in front of those guys and be able to land the blocks that he needs to land in open space is there, and we know the 49ers find that extremely valuable. Now, he's good, a good mover, very coordinated when getting to the second level as a run blocker, second level linebackers, and he's able to make blocks on the move. We talked about it with the screen game. Now we're going to talk about it in the running game. He's a capable mover in space and blocking defenders in space. That's huge when talking about 49ers offensive line, because that's something you have to do really well. And as a center, it's very important. Now, we just talked about the fact that if he gets on you, he doesn't lose you. He maintains blocks. What do we got a problem with our current center, Jake Brendel? He gets to where he's supposed to get, but he can't maintain his blocks. Nugent doesn't have that problem, which makes it interesting. Another guy with a high football IQ that understands football, and he understood handling protection calls and being able to make all the calls from the line of scrimmage. That is one of the things you have to be able to do in Kyle Shanahan's system, and this guy displays that ability. So that's really nice to have, because that's the biggest obstacle to getting a different center in place, is they have to be able to handle the mental aspect of Kyle Shanahan's scheme and calling protections. If they can't handle it, you're going to have miscues up front that are going to result in
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Brock Purdy going down or losses in the run game with Christian McCaffrey. So those are huge. His fundamentals are there. He's got good technique. Does a really good job with blocking angles, which is usually a weakness in some offensive linemen, but he handles it at a high level. And then he's good at using his body and positioning himself to be able to have the advantage, moving his hips, getting his hips around, being able to square up blocks and do what he's supposed to do. He's very disciplined, and he's got good intelligence. Those are all things that show up on film. He has necessary quickness, so he's good enough quickness to operate, flexibility in his hips and lower body to be able to handle reach blocks, as we talked about, and he's able to engage and be a good puller. So he's a good player. I mean, I think the size and weight are probably what scared most teams away from going ahead and getting him, but pretty good. But let's talk about some of the weaknesses. Sometimes he shows the ability to move guys with his hands, but he's not consistent in that area. And he's a good athlete, but he's got a little bit of problem when it comes to pass protection. He's better run blocker than he is a pass protector. That's the old philosophy of the 49ers, right? Better run blockers, not as good pass blockers. They've kind of flipped that a little bit. And sometimes he relies too much on that initial punch when he's trying to stud up pass rushers and get them to stop, and then will sometimes stop moving his feet. So they got to make sure he consistently moves his feet, even through initial contact. And that's nothing new. All offensive linemen struggle with this as they grow in the sport. Most guys are able to overcome this, but that's something that's going to have to just be drilled into him. Even though contact happens, you must continue to move your feet. Consistent movement from an offensive lineman when it comes to feet is so important, so that way you can make sure you don't give up ground. The initial punch is great. Use your hips. Use your lower half to be able to generate force, and then move your feet so you can stay in front of somebody. So you also worry about him when it comes to his range. How much can he move laterally and be able to block? I think he could struggle with faster defensive linemen in this league. You get somebody that's a big guy in a phone booth, he's going to be able to handle that. So that's what you're looking for. So this guy has some mirroring quickness, but you're talking about a guy that's a much better run blocker than he is pass blocker, kind of the old way of Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forster drafting. So he didn't get drafted, but that's the kind of things that he's good at. So he's an interesting one. We'll see what happens. The 49ers still have Corey Luciano under contract. He was an undrafted free agent last year. So Jake Brendel, Corey Luciano, and now Drake Nugent, the centers pretty much. We'll talk about another guy that has versatility. The rest of the guys are versatile. Feliciano's played center, but he plays guard. Same with Dominic Puni. He's played tackle. He's played guard. He has the ability to play center. The 49ers are giving themselves some options as they're going through. Could be interesting, but Nugent comes from a big program and has the ability. Next up, tight end Mason Plein. And talked a lot of people that the 49ers didn't address tight end in the draft. I kept hoping they would. By the time it got to the point where they were feeling able to do so, tight ends that anyone would be interested were pretty much off the board, and the only guys left were just receiving threats. Well, Mason Plein is kind of one of those receiving threats. So he's a former college basketball player. He played 3 years of college basketball at Ferris State, and then he played a couple years of football and basketball at Ferris State. He played 14 games in 2021 football. 2022, he played 11 games. Only had two catches in each one of those years. But in 2021, he did have two touchdowns. He transferred to Furman in 2023. And in Furman, he played 13 games. He had 32 catches for 287 yards and four receiving touchdowns. So he was in college for six seasons because of COVID. And, you know, everyone got that extra year. Now, when it came to his size, he's 6'6", nearly 6'7", 255, 260 pounds. He runs a 4.8, so he's more of a lumberer at that size. There were some of the other guys in the league that are in the draft that were that size that moved a little bit quicker. His 33-inch vertical leap, though, at 6'7", means he's got range to go up and get the football. Plein is an interesting player. I'd actually watched him before the draft, so I had some familiarity with who he was when the 49ers signed him, and then I went back and watched a little bit more. He's got pretty good hands, and he's got really good hand-eye coordination when it comes to going up and getting the ball, snatching them out of the air. He can handle that. He does a pretty good job of catching the ball through contact, so he's not a guy that's afraid to take contact on and then drop the ball. He will make those big catches in traffic, and that's exactly what you need him to do. Because of his extensive background playing basketball, you see the tendency to box out and be able to create opportunities for himself to get his frame in front of defenders and go up and get the football. That's always nice. He's got a huge catch radius, and that leaping ability and frame allow him to go up and get those balls. I think that's part of the game that you're really excited about a player like this. He has a good enough running style and ability after the catch to get yards after the catch. Could be a yak guy. Got to get a lot better when it comes to that. He can create a little bit of separation, but most of the time he's a contested catch guy. Defenders are usually able to run with him. Now, he did run more of the route tree than you would expect, so he's pretty well versed in his route tree. He does need to get a little bit better, and whenever you're 6'7", it's hard to get in and out of your breaks consistently to sink your hips and then drive out when you're coming out. So he doesn't always create separation at the top of the stem. A lot of times uses his long body and long limbs to be able to create separation. We'll see what kind of Y or inline tight end that he could be. Right now, I think he would be more inclined to play a flex move tight end, a guy that's off ball. That creates some separation for him already, but also that he doesn't have to be an inline blocker. I think that could be something I'm a little bit worried about, is him being an inline blocker. I think he needs to get better at that, get better at blocking. He's still green when it comes to blocking, leverage, technique. There needs to be a lot of improvement there. And he doesn't really have the explosiveness to be able to get down the field and create plays way down the field. He can get up the seam, but uses his size more than he uses his speed. And a lot of that has to go with the fact that he doesn't have great bend in his knees, great fluidity in his hips. All those things help for him to be able to do what he needs to do. So he relies a lot on his upper body. But he goes hard. He plays hard. He shows toughness. Those are all really good things. But, I mean, this is going to be a guy that his blocking ability, we don't know. Right now, if you put him out, he can stock block at an average level. Hit him on a nickel, he could handle that. But I don't see him being able to handle defensive linemen consistently as an inline blocker. I don't see him consistently being able to block a linebacker. He's more of a shield or an obstacle than he is a guy that's going to consistently win. But right now, I think he's a move tight end, a guy that you're going to use, you know, move him around, get him in motion, try to get some open looks. But there needs to be a lot of development when it comes to the blocking portion of the offense. And he doesn't have any of the elite traits when it comes to size and speed that you see from some of the other. Size is there, but speed you don't really see from the other tight ends that the 49ers have. George Kittle, Cameron Latu, Braden Willis, all better athletes, where he does show better hands than Cameron Latu, but we'll see. I mean, you're bringing guys on the practice squad. It's a shot in the dark to see who they are. Next up, a guy that is going to sound familiar, wide receiver Tariq Owens. Of course, he came in on the 49ers local pro day. Dad is Terrell Owens. And he's very close to dad. Dad, you know, was 6'2", 213 pounds coming out of the combine. Son, just under 6'2". He's 6'1", 199 pounds. Runs a 4.5. Terrell Owens ran a 4.6 at the combine. Now, the funny thing is, Terrell Owens just a few years ago ran like a 4.4. So he definitely got faster through time as he put in all the effort. But let's talk about Tariq and not his dad. 4.54 in the 40, a 38.5-inch vertical leap. So athletic, just like his dad was, 7.47 pre-cone, not as fast as you would think. And when you watch him run, he looks more like a 6'3", 6'4", wide receiver when he runs with his long strides and not as much of a 6'1", or 6'2", receiver that could change direction a little bit more. And that's part of the problem. The longer limbs make it a little bit more difficult for you to be able to get in and out of your breaks and generate the separation and the quickness that you really want. And I think that's something that you see from Tariq. He played his college football at Contra Costa College and then at Florida Atlantic before he went to Missouri State. He caught 28 passes for 528 yards and 4 touchdowns in 10 games, in his last football season of college football for Missouri State. So he had a really good senior season, 28 catches for 528. Not bad in 10 games. He's averaging 2.8 catches a game. This is my breakdown on him. Good athlete that runs every route hard and at full speed. You just see him giving every single ounce of effort when he runs his routes. He got better over the last couple seasons. He got better and better and improved. So that's always something you get optimistic about. You think maybe this guy's still on the ascend instead of, you know, going ahead and hitting his ceiling. So he's got some ability. He's a project that has elements to his game that need to get better. Gets out of his breaks well, but sometimes he rounds his routes. So he'll come out of his break. He looks pretty good, but he comes out in a round, and that will allow a defender to be able to get where he needs to be and for a pass to be a little bit off. And we saw that a little bit just watching some of his local pro day, just him missing on those routes because they're a little bit rounded. He needs to get better at that. He also has a tendency to slip on some of his comeback routes because he allows his feet to get outside of his frame. So he'll step too far forward, too far outside, and he will get outside of his framework and he'll lose his balance. And that's not something you want. A possibility of coming out of a break on a comeback route, you fall on the ground and it's a pick six. So he's got to get a little bit better on that. And his footwork could improve. I think that he could learn more technique, and I think that would really help him. Not only would it make him more balanced, but it would also allow him to present himself as a better receiver. And then ultimately, he wouldn't round routes. He'd be able to get in and out of his break a lot better. So there's some work that needs to go there. His effort shows up, though. He's a player that wants it. I mean, that's one thing you see on film. This is a guy that's putting forth the effort, and he's going after everything. He wants to get better. His hands are good, but he keeps his hands away from his body to catch the football. But he has a tendency to catch the ball against his body. And when he does, that's not a good. Number one, that's how you have drops. Number two, that's how you have turnovers. So those are some things I saw with him. Fun player. I like the player a little bit, but there's definitely some technique things that need to get a little bit better with Tariq Owens. Quarterback Tanner Mordecai out of Wisconsin, 6'2", 218 pounds. He ran the 40 in 4.46. That's an elite trait. His vertical 36.5, top 95 percentile. The dude's an athlete, and I think that's the first thing that you notice right away is the athleticism of Tanner Mordecai, and then, of course, just the cool name, the last name, Mordecai. Like, that's just a solid name. Mordecai plays with a confidence and a demeanor of a guy that knows what to do. He has athleticism to move outside the pocket and create plays outside the structure of a normal play. He's got good ball placement. And he's one of those guys that he can make plays when he's forced to improvise. So you get him outside the pocket, he's got the athleticism to make things happen, and he's got the natural instincts to get it done. Pretty good zip on his ball, especially on the quick slant, and then he's got a pretty good throw when it comes to the post corner. So he can handle those routes pretty good. He's good runner when it came to the read option and keeping backside defenders in place. So you can see that some of the speed element definitely helps him in his game, especially when it came to college football. And that's what you have to, you know, what you have to do. He is good in short to intermediate level accuracy, and that ball placement being right where it's supposed to be, allowing receivers to make the catch and run afterwards. Those are definitely things that I saw in film that show up. And he's got ability to get even bigger when it comes to size. He's got a frame that could put on a little bit more weight. The ability to buy time in the pocket is also something that you like from Mordecai. Weaknesses: he needs to improve his touch. He's just got to get a little bit better at that. Throws a lot of gun, you know, a lot of bullets. He's got to take a little bit out and just rely on the touch. So that's something he needs to do. He also tries to thread the needle and throw it, you know, in some tough situations into traffic, and it can result in some bad plays for him. So he needs to make sure he does that. And then sometimes when he's on the move, he will throw in the midst of a stride and he will get out of his framework. He needs to get back into his framework to throw the ball. And so it will lead to accuracy issues when he's on the run. And then, of course, down the field can be a real problem when it comes to accuracy on deep passes. He will put too much air under his throws and he'll throw rainbows. And that's never good. So athletically, he's a fun player. And then the short to intermediate route, he does pretty good getting guys a ball where they can make something happen after the play. Sounds very 49ers-ish. The problem, dangerous passes in traffic, that's not good. You don't want turnovers. And then also, you know, just the deep ball is not consistently there. Offensive lineman Bryson Mays out of Southern Miss. So he was originally with West Virginia, and then he goes to Southern Miss and lead blocks for Frank Gore Jr. 6'4", 300 pounds, 5'2", in the 40, so pretty close height and weight to what we were talking about earlier with Nugent. 7.413 cone, pretty much the same. A little bit longer arms, nearly 34 inches, so he's over 33-inch arms, pretty good. Mays was starting left tackle for Southern Miss in 2023 before transitioning to starting right tackle midway through the season. He also made starts at center during his three seasons at Southern Miss. Mays made 23 starts at West Virginia from 2018 to 2020. Guy that's been in college for a while playing, COVID and everything else. Five position versatility. He's played tackle, guard, and center in college. It's not a guy that you're projecting, but he's done it. So you could see film on him doing all three. I did see film on him doing everything. Arm length allows him to be a candidate to still play tackle in the NFL. Though I thought on film, a move inside was probably the best bet for him to be able to make an NFL roster. I think that's where he translates the best. But I didn't see him as a tackle, even though him getting work at tackle would make sense. We know that last year they did the same thing with Il Manning, a guy that should play inside, but they played him at tackle and needed to get another tackle in. And he's got the ability to do that, especially starting games. Southern Miss at left and right tackle last season. He's got that ability, and you probably think could be a swing tackle candidate. He's got decent athleticism. He does a good job staying within his framework. When his movements happen, he never gets outside of his framework where he looks unbalanced, but he moves well with his feet. Quick mover that way. I like it. He wins with balance and plays heavier than 300 pounds. Even though he's 300 pounds, I thought he looked like he played a lot bigger and better than that. Good hand placement allows him to maintain blocks. He locks on to guys. His hands are always in the right positions, or for the most part. He does a pretty good job with that. He's a good combo and double team blocker. I think that his speed to get to the second level consistently could be a problem. I didn't see the natural athleticism in space be able to get there. The way we saw it from Nugent in the run game, don't see it from Mays here. I think he could struggle to get there, which means, you know, sometimes you see this, right? Banks, it looked like he was going to struggle. It looked like Feliciano was going to struggle, but both of them were able to handle it. So hoping that Mays is going to be able to handle it, but that was something I saw in film. It was definitely a little bit of an issue. He has inconsistency in reach blocks and being able to get his hips around in proper placement. So he, number one, has a hard time getting his face in front, getting his body to the proper positioning to be able to make reach blocks. That's something he's going to have to improve on. So I think, you know, the second level blocks with athleticism, worried about reach blocks, worried about those are big parts of the 49ers offense. So maybe they believe they can get him to the point where he can do that. And then I think he may struggle with speed rushers around the outside, especially if he's playing outside at tackle. I think speed rushers will be a real problem for him. I don't see the necessary flexibility in hips, knees, and ankles to be able to get to where he needs to get and handle speed edge rushers. I think the 49ers edge rushers they have right now on their roster are going to give him fits in training camp. So a move inside is what I believe for him. But interesting guy, played a lot of football, five position versatility. 49ers love versatility, especially an undrafted free agent. I think he makes sense for the 49ers to bring in and see what he could do. Now, one that sent shockwaves that got everyone's attention was defensive lineman Evan Anderson. Big guy, 6 foot, over 320 pounds. It's a lot of size for a 6 foot frame. Normally that size you see on a taller man, but 6 foot, he's pretty big. He doesn't have long arms, only 32 4/8 arms. Doesn't have a long wingspan. His 40 was 5.35. He's not fast. So, I mean, this is just a large man. In 2023, as a senior, he played in 12 games and had 535 snaps. He had 28 tackles, 14 assists, and 28 stops. As a pass rusher, he had 16 total pressures and had 10 quarterback hurries and 5 sacks on the season. So this was interesting. I mean, I started seeing the hype about him, and so I went to the film, and I was like, hey, I'm curious to see, you know, what he's got. So he's got strong enough lower body strength to be able to hold up at the point of attack. He takes on double teams. That's definitely something he does. He's definitely got good feel, and he's a grappler. He battles inside and can get off blockers, or get blockers off balance and throw them to the ground. He looks like a massive man. That's one thing you notice right away. He's got decent athleticism. Got an okay burst of speed and enough quickness to occasionally win in the pass rush. He can clog running lanes because he's so big. And, of course, we know that's something that the 49ers are definitely looking for, to be able to stop the run. He has heavy hands and good upper body strength. That was apparent on film. And he can anchor against the run. He can hold up at the point of attack and occupy double teams. I'm sure that was something the 49ers were looking for. And so he's a guy that can work inside and handle those situations. Now let's talk about the weaknesses. He's very much a work in progress when it comes to what he does on the inside. He doesn't play with the ideal physicality you're looking from a guy inside. Though he has violent hands, inconsistent with how he uses his hands and how much he uses his hands, which allows offensive players often to get into his chest plate, and he'll waste time fighting with them due to his limited array of pass rush moves. So he doesn't have a bunch of pass rush moves that he can go to. There's not an assortment. And so a lot of times it looks like he's sitting there hand fighting with these guys, and he's not really doing anything big. If he doesn't win initially, it can be a little bit of a struggle for him. So he has to win early on pass rush, or he's going to have a lot of problems because he doesn't have a go-to counter move that he can go to. He's also a little bit slow and struggles to get to misdirection plays, so he can get caught up. You can leave him alone in some of the trap plays and some of those things, and he will just be waiting there in the middle of the field, and you can take advantage of his lack of speed. And he shows lack of speed to be able to get down the line of scrimmage and make tackles. And normally I would say, hey, you know, that's okay, though, because we've seen the 49ers have other big guys. But a guy like Ridgeway that they brought in, he was able to get down the line of scrimmage and still make plays. So this was an interesting one. He's definitely a large man who plays on the inside. And, you know, he's got the weight. He's top 91 percentile when it comes to weight, but on a 6-foot frame, same height as Kalia Davis, but definitely a lot bigger. So that's interesting. One guy built on not very much speed when it comes to Anderson. And then when you got Kalia Davis, he's predicated and built on speed. They're going to take a chance here. That gave him a lot of money. Does that mean he's going to make the team? Not always. So I think I'll give you an idea about that in a second. So last on the list, DB Jalen Mahoney of Vanderbilt, 5'11", 200 pounds. He ran a 4.53, very close to Malik Mustafa when it comes to size, weight, and speed. That's always good. He was also a two-time SC Academic All-American. He had a two-time team captain in 22 and 2023. So that's good. In 2023, he had 59 tackles, 38 solo tackles, 21 assisted, and 6 pass defenses. He was in the program for 5 years. That's really good. And he was used in a multitude of ways in their 4-2-5 scheme. He mainly played free safety and strong safety, but you know, he could move other places. He's got a solid build with decent arm length. He definitely is not the fastest guy, but he uses good technique to be able to make up for some of that lack of speed and explosiveness. He has good balance and lateral quickness, so he can get in and out of his breaks pretty smoothly. And then he has the ability to bail out and flip his hips and fly wherever the ball is located and get there. He's average in press coverage and can travel sideline to sideline in coverage. He's good in the run game when playing closer in the box, closer to the line of scrimmage. Shows good ability at giving quarterbacks a false pre-snap look and then dropping to another cover. So intelligent that way, able to make it look like you're running one coverage and then shift to another, which we know the 49ers like to do. He does that pretty well. He hasn't really been a guy that breaks up a lot of passes or creates turnovers. That was kind of similar to Malik Mustafa, who didn't really create a lot of turnovers, but I think there's turnover ability in him. Now, some of the negatives that I saw when talking about Mahoney was he takes bad angles that allows receivers to run away from him. Too many times I've seen guys hit crossers, and he should have had a tackle, and he takes a bad angle, and he gets beat. And then he shoots at the legs to tackle and struggles to tackle players in space, gets juked. I watched the Georgia game and I watched the Tennessee game, and the Georgia game was not a good film. I had to go locate the Tennessee game just so I could get more film on him, because it was not a good look. The Georgia game was not good. He's definitely developmental. I think they're hoping they're going to be able to use him in a certain way and get something out of him, but he's got a lot of work to do. And so these are the 49ers undrafted free agents that they signed. I think it's going to be tough for any of them to make the 49ers roster this season. I think some of the most interesting ones to me are probably Drake Nugent, the center, because of his run blocking ability. He's probably going to get on Kyle Shanahan's radar early for how he handles that. I think that could be very good for him, but I worry about how he handles the passing game. And then when it comes to Pline, I want to see how Pline, the tight end, handles blocking. He's going to be fun. With the 49ers don't have anyone 6'7" out there running around. So that'll be interesting to see. And then, of course, I'm sure everyone's going to keep an eye on Tariq Owens. But if I had to guess, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, hey, you know, Evan Anderson's got a good shot to make this team. I don't think any of the undrafted free agents are going to make this team. I think we got some candidates here to be on the 49ers practice squad. I think Cody Schrader especially could be on the 49ers practice squad. I think he's one that makes sense. I think Drake Nugent could replace Corey Luciano on the 49ers practice squad as a center in waiting. I definitely think that's the case. So those will be interesting. And then I want to see how Bryson Mays is going to be used, if he's going to play tackle or interior. So that's the undrafted free agents. We'll keep an eye on, you know, what happens with those guys. It's going to be fun training camp. See where they're going to be. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you're listening to audio platform 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. Thanks for watching this episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.